to worship and adore the Lord our God.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, a message from God's Word brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message in its entirety again, to download it, or to choose from a variety of other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, log on to WGCRpreaching.net.
I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to the book of Hebrews. Then I want you to mark the book of Daniel, chapter 3. I'm just going to read a verse over there. And I guess it's a little, I don't know. I'm trying to preach what the Lord wants me to. I'm not going to preach what I planned to preach last night. But I just think about the Wednesday night crowd, so to speak. And I pray I could be a blessing, be a help to you tonight. Amen. Primarily preaching to Christians tonight, no doubt about that. And I pray the Lord take this thought and help us with it. Amen. And so Hebrews chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. Amen. Heard about the lady called her husband, said, honey, I'm going to be late getting home. He said, well, why are you late? She said, the car is having problems, and I'm going to be late getting there. He said, well, what kind of problems is this having? And she said, well, I think there's water in the carburetor. He said, well, water in the carburetor? Why would there be water in the carburetor? She said, I don't know, but I think there's water in the carburetor. She said, well, you don't know anything about a car. Why would you think there's water in the carburetor? He said, by the way, where is the car? She said, in the river. Somebody help me right there. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you're physically able to stand tonight, let's stand, read the Bible. Y'all, I got to slow down. Amen. All right, Hebrews 11:32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promise, stopped the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. Out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had trial of cruel mockings and scourging, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sown asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, that they wandered in death, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in the deserts, in the mountains, in the dens, and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. I want to take my text tonight from verse number 35. I haven't preached from this text in quite a number of years, but the Lord impressed it on my heart today. Verse 35, others received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings, scourging, yea, moreover, bonds and imprisonments. I want to preach on this simple thought tonight. The faith of others. The faith of others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us come to church tonight. Lord, I appreciate the good singing and the good spirit that, God, we feel in the house of God tonight. Appreciate what you did for us on Monday night and last night, just to be with God's people in God's presence. And, Lord, just to know that, God, you're living and you're real. And God, you meet with your people. I bless you and praise you. Help us to do that tonight around the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, I know I'm nothing. God, I can't preach. I can't even walk, God, unless you help me. So do something for us tonight through the preaching of your Word to encourage your people. And God, we'll thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You be seated. Now, over in the book of Daniel, I want to slow down just a minute. Over in the book of Daniel, chapter number 3, the Bible said, verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to the king, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now, I want to, again, slow down just for a minute and then try to give you my thought tonight. The faith of others. The truth of the matter is, in Hebrews chapter number 11, the Bible talks about, in the first part of the chapter, many of our heroes of the faith. By faith Abel, by faith Enoch, by faith Noah, by faith Abraham, and right on down and right on through, and tales of the great things they did because of their faith. In our text tonight, the Bible said about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that they talked about being delivered. I found out God sometimes will deliver us from the trial. Sometimes God will deliver us in the trial. And sometimes, truthfully, church, that's what I want to preach on tonight. Sometimes God don't deliver us. The Bible said in Hebrews 11 that others had trial of mockings and scourgings and of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, slain, sown asunder. Here is a group in the Bible that did not get delivered. Now, I'm saying all that to get to my point, amen. Some get delivered, some don't get delivered. The first part of the chapter of Hebrews, their faith delivered them. But when we get to our text tonight, their faith did not deliver them. Now, what are you trying to say, preacher? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, hey, that's most of our preaching's on the first part. It's a well-known group such as Noah. We've all heard of Noah, and we've heard by faith Noah built that ark to the saving of his house by which he condemned the world. Hey, we've heard of Noah. We preached on Noah, and because of Noah's faith, he saved the whole world. Never saw that quite like this, but the Bible said he built an ark to save his house. But by building an ark to save his house, he saved the world. Hello, somebody help me. Amen. I'm simply saying his faith did more than what he believed him for. I'll tell you what, sometimes, hey, in our local churches, our faith not only affects this church, our faith, hey, in Ridgeview Baptist Church, our faith not only spares our church, but our faith, and through this church, affects the world. There's missionaries around the world because of your faith. Amen. So our faith many times is doing more than what we can see. I try to tell our church that all the time. Hey, our faith is affecting more than what we see on Sunday. Amen. So Noah was building boats. We preach on Noah. Abraham was having babies when he was 100 years old. Why? Because of his faith. Hey, we preach on Moses. He was crossing boundaries because of his faith. Amen. Hey, we preach on Joshua. His faith was bringing walls down. Amen. And saving harlots. Amen. Hey, we preach on these characters in the Bible. In the first part, they are well known. And it seems very successful. But here I want you to notice this. There's another group that had faith that are not well known. Matter of fact, there's no names. It said others. These don't even have a name. These don't even get delivered. And yet, their faith is just as great as the faith in the first part of the chapter. Are you listening to me, church? Hey, notice this. There's a well-known crowd, and there's a crowd not well-known. Notice this. Most of our preaching is on the well-known crowd. And I said, truly, that ought to be right, amen. Hey, we preach about all the first part of the chapter, but the last part of the chapter of Hebrews chapter 11 is just as important as the first part. There was a crowd that was delivered. There was a crowd that wasn't delivered. And they had the same faith. Yes. Amen and amen. What happened to that last part? Well, the Bible said they got scourged, they got stoned, they got sown, they got slain. They wandered about in sheepskins and don't even give their names. This is the faith chapter. Hebrews 11 is the faith chapter of the Bible. What are you trying to say? Well, faith creates a relationship. And for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. So faith created a relationship with God between me and you. Amen. Hey, faith also creates reverence. The Bible said without faith, you can't please God. Hey, it didn't say without faith, you can't do much. It said without faith, you can't please God at all. Now, I want to say something about that, if y'all let me. Hey, you can't have faith till you hear from God. I was down in Florida, I was preaching, and a preacher got up, a very humble, humble fella. I think his church runs about, he said his church runs about 10 or 12. Amen. But I tell you, he had God all over him. And he made this statement. I hadn't been able to get away from it, preacher. Though I know it, though I preach it. He said, you cannot have faith till you hear from God. Hello. You know why a lot of people ain't never got saved? They ain't never heard from God. Amen. The only way to have faith is you've got to hear God speak to you through this book. Amen and amen. Until God speaks to you, you can't have faith. I told the preacher a little bit, we didn't go in depth. I told the preacher, I've been going through the trial of my life. Peter talks about the trial of your faith. And I'm not asking for pity. Many of y'all been through a lot of harder things than I've been through. But I tell you, over the last almost 3 years now, I've been going through the trial. Brother Rain said, there is a trial of your faith. We all have many trials, but there's a trial that will come to you that will try your faith like no other trial. And I've been going through that for about the last 3 years. And I'd like to say I had great faith, but I didn't have faith. I never heard from God I was going to be delivered. I'm going to slow down. God never spoke to me and said, you're going to be delivered. I didn't have faith to know that the end of this trial, well, I was going to be delivered. Because God never told me I was. Now, I've heard people say, I've been through things, but God assured me I was going to be delivered. You can have faith. If God assured you, you can have faith. The only thing I had in this trial was hope. I was expecting and hoping God would deliver me. But God never one time told me I would be delivered. Amen. I'm trying to confuse nobody. I'm trying to learn myself. I'm just simply saying you can't have faith you hear from God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Amen. And here in this chapter, faith creates a relationship. Faith creates reverence. Faith creates a resolve. Why do you think those men did what they did? Why did they resolve to do what they did against seemingly impossible odds? Hey, they had faith in God that he would see them through. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing when God speaks to you. Yeah. Hallelujah. You know why I know I'm saved tonight? About 41 years ago, God spoke to me. Hallelujah. No mistake about it. Amen. Hey, I know I'm saved tonight because there was a time God spoke to me. But hey, here's a crowd tonight that had faith but didn't get delivered. Are you listening, church? Now, we could probably identify with that. In what way? We could probably say amen to this. Hey, you got faith, but you ain't been delivered with your health problem. That's probably people I'm preaching to in this room tonight. Your health is bad. And you got faith in God, but God hadn't healed you. Hello? Hey, could I say you maybe got cancer and you prayed and prayed and you love God and you go to church and you tithe and you give the missions and you're faithful and you hold up the pastor's hand and you do all you can do, but there's no deliverance on your health. Amen. Does that mean you ain't right with God? This crowd here didn't get delivered, and they're just as right with God as the first part of the chapter. Amen. You see, here's where we're living. We're living in a church age of a bunch of charismatics, prosperity and wealth gospel. And all they preach on, if you're right with God, you'll get bukus of money, ride in a Cadillac, live in a mansion, and always be well. You know, if that's been the case, why do they die? Hello. Oh, y'all help me. Hey, I'm simply saying these people had faith. Hey, and God's people have faith, but they still have health problems. Hey, we have faith, but we don't have the wealth that they say we'll have. Hey, we have faith. Hey, many, many preachers I know, and I was telling the pastor this evening, we were talking a little bit. Many of God's men that love God and stand for God and serve God have faith, but their families didn't turn out right. Are you listening? I know many men of God that I esteem as the highest among God's people, amen, in the sense of their ministry and their living for God and being faithful for God, but their families didn't turn out right. Hello? Well, if you got faith, then family will turn out right. Oh, is that true? Well, God had one son, put him in the Garden of Eden in a perfect environment. He messed up. Hello? I'll be real honest with you. If your family does turn out right, I wouldn't write a book about it. The only reason your family turned out right, it won't be because you're such a great daddy. It'll be because we had a great God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say amen. I'm just simply trying to say to us, here's where we get defeated. Here's where we get defeated. Well, I'm serving God. I'm living for God. But my faith is not bringing deliverance to my family. Am I right? I must be wrong. No, I'll be honest with you. It's not always what you're doing that may make you think you're wrong. You may be having obstacles because you're doing right. Had a lady in my church, dear God, she had a husband. He was as sorry as they come. And I'm telling you, it seemed like every time I turned around, she was having a problem. She come to me one day in tears and she said, preacher, I'm at my wit's end. I'm trying to serve God. I'm trying to live for God. And it seemed like everything I touch falls to pieces. What am I doing wrong? I said, sister, look up. You might be what you're doing right. Hello, we have this thought that if I have faith in God, I'm going to be delivered. Well, faith is created for relationship and reverence and resolve, but faith doesn't always call for release. Are you listening to me, church? Are you listening to me? Oh, I've got faith, but I don't have a prospering ministry as the world may look at it. Does that mean we don't have faith? Hey, that man that preached down in Florida, as humble as they come, stepped up in that pulpit. They had men preaching down there that had big ministries. And I'm not against that, but I'm telling you, that man had more God. They had more God on him than all the crowd down there. Amen. Pastoring 12 people. Anybody could put the thumbs under their coat lapel, so to speak, say, we run 200, we run 500. He said, we run 12. He wasn't ashamed. Matter of fact, he sounded like he was happy to have 12. Somebody help me. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just sitting there trying to say to us, hey, preacher, I've tried to be faithful, but I haven't seen any deliverance. Preacher, I'm telling you, a disease has got in my body called cancer, or sugar diabetes, or I've had heart attacks. I've got other problems in my body, and I'm trying to serve God, but there's no relief, and I haven't had any relief. Is God going to deliver me? Well, sis, if you're being faithful, he may and he may not. Hello. I don't want to mess up our theology. The Bible says here there was a crowd that didn't get delivered. Amen and amen. And we like that first crowd, and I like that first crowd, and I want to be in that first crowd. But if it happens I don't get in that crowd, I'm still going to have faith and press on for God. Amen. Amen. So here's my message real quick. What happens when you have faith and don't have deliverance? Number one, God's not doing you wrong. Ain't that deep. Some get delivered and some don't get delivered. I give you a classic example, Acts chapter number 12. The Bible said in Acts chapter number 12 they killed James. And a few verses later it said Peter was locked up, waiting on death. And the Bible said at the midnight hour, the angel went to the prison where Peter was and caused them revolving doors. Somebody help me right there. And Peter walked out of the prison without anybody harming him. Now here's James. The Bible, I read about James. That James, I read, he prayed so much, they had said, this is what history says. They said James prayed so much, he had knees like a camel. So here's James, they done killed him. But Peter's getting delivered. What's the difference? One got delivered and one didn't. Both of them love God. Hello. Can't you hear them at the funeral home? Wonder why James is dead and in the casket and God delivered. If anybody should have been killed, it should have been Peter. Somebody help me right there. Looks like he would have killed Peter and let James. We need James to hang around to pray. We don't want to hear Peter's loud mouth no more, and he don't never do what he said he was going to do. Somebody help me right there. Why didn't he kill Peter and let James live? God delivered, delivered Peter. But I'm going to tell you what, James died. Explain that. And both of them loved God and both of them had faith. Hello, I'm just simply trying to say, hey, when you got faith and you don't get delivered, God ain't doing you wrong. It'd be easy to think God was doing Job wrong. He loved God, he skewed evil. I mean, he loved God. The man loved God. The Bible said Job suffered like no man suffered. Are you listening? You say, yeah, but he got delivered. Oh, I understand that, but I'm going to tell you what, it was a long ordeal. Are you listening to me? How about Paul? I'll never give you Paul. Paul never got delivered. And a man, you never loved God more than Paul. But I tell you, in 2 Corinthians chapter number 12, Paul prayed, Lord, take this thorn away. Lord, take this thorn away. Lord, take this thorn away. He said, Paul, I can't take it from you. He said, but I will give you grace. He never got delivered. What are these preachers and teaching ministers saying? If you got faith, you're going to get well. Now, I ain't got to preach on them because we ain't got none of that here. But I am making an example. Hey, I'm telling you, Paul never got his sickness healed. But I'll tell you what God said. He said, as a matter of fact, Paul come back and said, I'd rather have grace than be healed. I'll tell you something else Paul said. He said, I was given an abundance of the revelations of God. And he said, I probably got this thorn because I'd think I was something if I didn't get it. He said, lest I be exalted, God give me a thorn in the flesh. That's just how we are, Brother Donnie. God does great, great things for us and through us, amen. And the first thing, if we don't have something to humble us or don't get delivered, we'll think we somebody. Hello, somebody help me, amen. I'm simply saying some get delivered and some don't get delivered, amen. And I was preaching tonight, some didn't get delivered. I may be preaching to just one tonight. Maybe you're going through a hard time in life. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe it's a need. Whatever. Maybe it's a family problem. And you prayed, and you prayed, and you prayed, and no deliverance has come. What am I to do, preacher? Keep on pressing on for God. Amen. Amen. Hey, you know Peter eventually did die. Hello? Matter of fact, I'm told by learned men, whether that's true or not, you won't get that in the Bible. I'm told he was crucified upside down. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm simply trying to say, hey, when God does not deliver you, he's not doing you wrong. Hello? Number two, both groups lived at the same time. Look at this now. Look at verse 35. The Bible said, women received their dead raised to life again. Now, no doubt he's talking there about the woman at Zarephath. Elijah went down there, the woman at Zarephath, you know, the bucket, the barrel of meal that wasted not. And the son died, and Elijah went in there and raised her son from the dead. A little bit later in 2 Kings, there was a woman, the Shulamite woman, that her son died, and Elisha went down there, laid on his body, amen, and he raised up. Both of these boys were dead and got resurrected. So he's saying women received their dead raised to life again. But I'm sure while those were getting delivered and resurrected, there were other women in Zarephath. There were other women with the Shulamite woman that their sons didn't get delivered. Matter of fact, I read one time where a famine came and they were bawling their children to eat. They didn't get delivered. Is everybody getting my point? What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm just simply trying to say to us, both of these groups are living at the same time. And that be the case, be careful that you, if you're the delivered crowd, be careful you don't get pride. Matter of fact, I'm going to split us up tonight. From right here over, that's group A. Y'all are the delivered group. Thank God my wife got in that group tonight. Normally she's on this side. Normally she's in the non-delivered group, amen. So from this point, from right here over, y'all are the delivered group. Y'all the A group. Y'all getting delivered. But this crowd over here, and this is where I'm going to join in, amen, y'all don't never get delivered. So we're both living at the same time. We're coming to the same church. You getting delivered. You getting victory. You getting success. But this crowd ain't getting it. It'd be very easy for y'all to think they ain't doing it right. And you all of a sudden you get all prideful and you start boasting. We know how to do it. Evidently they ain't doing something right. So I'll preach to this side tonight. Y'all need to get right with God over here. Somebody help me. But also at the same time, it'd be very easy for this crowd to get bitter. They're looking at you prosper. They're looking at you. Everything you touch turns to gold. And they're wondering why nothing ever turns out right for them. And all of a sudden, they get mad. They get bitter. Hello. Amen. Both groups living at the same time. Are you listening to me, church? And I'm telling you, friend, when you're serving God and you're living for God and you're doing all you know for God and things ain't turning out right and deliverance ain't coming, amen, and sometimes looks like the bills ain't getting paid and the bank ain't doing right, I'm telling you, it'd be very easy to get bitter, amen. Are you listening to me, church? So group A is getting delivered and group B's not. Group A is inflated. Group B is aggravated. Would you help me? It takes, hey, could I give you this? Could I tell us over here on this side ain't getting delivered? It takes more faith to endure than it does to escape. Anybody can serve God when you're always getting delivered. But how about when you ain't getting delivered? How about when you're always down to the very last penny on the paycheck? This crowd over here, everything they touch it turns to gold. Dear God, y'all about to make me bitter. But this crowd over here, it's always down to the very penny. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what, don't seem like deliverance is coming and victory is coming. And I'm telling you, it'd be very easy to throw up your hands and say, I quit. Don't quit, just stay faithful. Amen. Amen. And you crowd over here, don't think because you're always getting delivered, you can tell us what to do. Y'all help me. Amen and amen. Paul said, I'll tell you what Paul said. Paul said it's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. Are you listening to me? Measuring normally is done by externals. Here's how we measure. We measure by what we do and what we don't do. Hello, amen. Hey, we know how to do it. Can't you tell, preacher? We're successful. We're getting delivered. We know how to do it. Evidently, that crowd over there is lacking. That happens. You better believe this happened. I ain't pastor long enough to know, but I pastor long enough. I've seen this. When there's a crowd not getting delivered, there's a crowd getting delivered. Hey, I'm going to tell you what. It can create trouble. Amen. And then this crowd thinks they know what that crowd ought to do. Hello? What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm simply trying to say we measure ourselves among ourselves. The Bible says that's not wise. Amen and amen. We measure ourselves not only by what we do and don't. We measure ourselves by standards. Amen. Well, the truth of the matter is, if this crowd over here evidently ain't preaching nothing, because if they was preaching something, they wouldn't be so victorious. But if they was holding a standard like we are, their churches wouldn't be prospering like ours are. Ain't you heard it? Church down the street's growing? Well, they're compromising. You know they got to be compromising to get that crowd in. And I'm telling you, I've been in that crowd. I have been in that crowd. I'm somewhat in it now. Amen. Amen. Truth of the matter is, and a lot of them are prospering because they've dropped the standards. Amen and amen. But this crowd over here, because you've got victory, you think you can tell us over here how we ought to do it. Is anybody listening? I found out, hey, I'm for standards. Hey, we got so many rules at our church, I ain't sure I'm keeping them all. That is the truth. I'm telling you what. I'm telling you, we got a rule for this and a rule for that. My wife don't tell me don't call them rules, call them guidelines. Amen. We got a lot of guidelines I'm sure I ain't keeping. Amen. I'm just simply trying to say to us tonight, hey, be careful. When you're getting delivered, you don't get pride and get arrogant. Amen. Hey, when you don't get delivered, don't get bitter. Don't get mad. Hey, quit on God. Amen. Amen. We judge ourselves by size. Well, they're bigger. They're doing a better job than we are. Amen. You know what I found out about size? Not everything big is better. I passed years ago. I passed a deer on the side of the road. 2 days later, he was dead. 2 days later, I come back by. He was bigger. He wasn't growing. Somebody help me. He was dead. 2 days later, he was bigger than 2 days before, and he wasn't growing because he was dead. He's swelling. And a lot of churches ain't growing. They swelling, amen. You poke that word of God into them, they'll deflate, amen. Hallelujah. I know how it feels, preacher. I know how it feels. I pastor in a little rural community. Amen. We got a little small church out there in the countryside. Amen. And I'm telling you what, sometimes our church, no doubt in my mind, they feel somewhat intimidated. You know, they see these big flourishing ministries. Amen. Well, why ain't we doing that? Maybe it's because we're holding the standard higher. Hello. Hey, a lot of them churches, and I'm not picking on big church, but you poke the word of God into them, amen. I mean, the whole counsel of God, they'll probably deflate. Yeah. Hello? My point is simply this. How do you judge our ministry? How do you judge us individually by what we're doing? The true measurement of what we're doing is number one, am I where God wants me to be? Hallelujah. If I was picking a place to start a church, I would not have picked St. Stephen. But I didn't pick it. God picked it. And here's what I know about where I am. I am where God wants me to be. And when I'm where God wants me to be, I have His protection. Yes, sir. Amen. Yeah, man. That ain't real deep. I ain't a deep preacher. But I'm telling you, here's how you're going to judge about deliverance and non-deliverance. Am I where God wants me to be? Are you in the church God wants you to be in? Hallelujah. I tell you, I think it's that critical, preacher. I think when we go to join a church, we're joining up with a body of Christ. I'm in it. I'm back in the pastor. I'm staying with the man of God. I am here. God put me here. Hey, we ought to know it like the preacher knows it, amen. Praise God. There, God, Reb, that's good preaching. That's good preaching right there. Yeah, man. Hey, man, here's what we think sometimes churches. Let's just come and shout it out. And I'm for the shouting it out. And I'm going to tell you what, in order to have a shouting church, you got to have some stability in it. If you don't do that, it's nothing but emotion, amen. And a bunch of emotion without devotion is a bunch of commotion, amen. Praise God, amen. Man, I love a shouting church, but I've been to churches that shout and the women's half naked. Hello, Tokyo. I preached in a church one night. God told me what to preach. Best I knew. When I got to the church, I doubted God. He told me to preach on nakedness and nudity. And when I walked in the church that night, I said, oh, God, I got the wrong message. Preacher come to me before the church started. He said, we got a guest choir coming over tonight to sing. I said, wonderful, wonderful, till they walked in. And I knew what I had. I done wrote that in my notes. Yeah, man. And it had all, when that choir went up, friend, I'm telling you now, you had to bow your head or you got embarrassed. Is anybody listening? And here I am sitting in a message I've never preached in the church before. I got a message to deal with that issue. Woo! What did you do, preacher? I just closed my eyes, punched out there by faith, and preached. Dear God, when I got through, they was going outside doors, back doors. Wasn't nobody coming out my door even. Somebody help me. I don't know how I got on that, but anyway, I'm trying to tell you. God said, how are we going to know if we're in the right place? Be where God wants you to be. Amen, amen. And by the way, church, I ain't never said this in this message. That ain't always easy. It ain't always easy to sit up in a church, amen. And if you like our church, I had a preacher preach at my church the other night. He said, in my little community, he's in a small area. He said, when you come into our town and say my name, they either going to hug you or hurt you. And we go to church and we have that stigma. Hello? That ain't always easy to stay in a church like that. But it's right. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. Y'all go down there to where that preacher says, don't do this and don't do that and don't do that. And he hollers and he screams. And y'all pay him to do that? You must be crazy. Pay a man to holler and scream and tell you not to do this and not to do that. By the way, Moses was a negative preacher. All he preached on is thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not. Matter of fact, Korah and them come to him one day, said, Moses, do you have any positive message to preach on the Sabbath? He said, I got a positive message coming next Sunday. They said, thank God. So he got up next Sunday and said, you're positively going to hell if you don't do them thou shalt nots. Amen. Somebody help me. Amen. Yeah, God, y'all done got me wound up tonight. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, get where God wants you to get and dig in and stay there, even if you don't get delivered. Amen. God, not everybody gets delivered. Ultimately, there's coming a deliverance. But you might not get delivered here. Preacher, that's pretty negative. No, it's pretty Bible. A crowd got delivered. and a crowd didn't get delivered, and they were just as faithful as the crowd that got delivered. Hello? Amen. How do I know where to be? Is God glorified in what you're doing? Hey, how do you know where? How do you know where to be? Can God commend the work you're doing? I read this. It's too deep for me, but I read where Charles Hadley Spurgeon said this about godly about churches. He said, "In our churches, we need godly leadership, biblical goals, outreach, amen, concern for each other, and biblical teaching and preaching and worship." He said, "If you're in a church that's got that kind of order, you're in the right church." Amen. Praise God. You know what I found out? Churches have weakness and strength. This church might be, and I say this reverently, maybe this church is stronger than our church in some areas. Maybe in some areas our church may be stronger than other. Churches have weaknesses and strengths. Amen. Hey, areas are different. I'm telling you, church, hey, when you go to build a God Bible preaching church, areas are different. I say this to the glory of God. A man went out of our church and went to Papua New Guinea and went to a place where there's never been a Baptist church since time began. He got in his yard and started preaching. He got in his house and started preaching. His house filled up. He got in his yard and started preaching. The yard filled up. They built a little lean-to. The lean-to filled up. They bought a piece of land, built a tabernacle on it. That filled up. That Life Baptist Church in Papua New Guinea, out of our church, runs 600 on Sunday. Out of that church, they've started 30 churches. That man come back to New Guinea, he's in our church tonight, and now he's back in St. Stephen, and we can't hardly get nobody saved. Tell me the areas aren't different. Amen. Hey, old-time worship, old-time praise in our part of the country is foreign. In our part of the country, in the low country, old-time worship and praise in a Baptist church, the only people shouting in the low country is holiness. It's foreign to our part of the country. But God has started raising up a few churches where we go to church and act a little bit like y'all, amen. We ain't quite got far as y'all yet now. But we're working on it. Maybe I could take a little bit of this back home. Somebody help me. Areas are different. I'll tell you, old time worship and praises and Baptist church about dying out everywhere. Amen. We got to get dignified. Amen. We'll run people off if we don't act dignified. Amen. Jump up and run around the church. Walk around the church. What is all this getting up and walking around the church? I ain't figured it out, but I like it. Amen. Hey, if you feel like walking, walk. Amen. Dad, God's all about to kill me. Amen. I'm trying to tell you, hey, get in the church and serve God. Amen. Stay faithful. Amen. If I get too loud now, y'all have to get on the PA, man. I ain't got no control. Hey, how do you serve God even if you ain't getting delivered? Believe God ain't doing you wrong. Don't get mad. Don't get puffed up. Don't get pride. Number three, there's probably more in group B than there is in group A. There's probably more not getting delivered than there is getting delivered. Y'all are a select group, but most of us is like us. Hello? Don't appear to be too successful. Visually, we don't appear to be too successful. We don't appear to have the deliverance that y'all enjoying. Hello? And more people probably in that group than in this group. What are you trying to say? I don't read about a lot of people building boats like Noah. I don't read about in the Bible about a lot of people having babies at 100 years old like Abraham. I don't read about a lot of people opening up Red Seas like Moses. I don't read about a lot of people falling walls, falling down like Joshua and being delivered from the lions then like Daniel. Amen? I found out why the dead lions didn't eat Daniel. The Bible said the righteous are bold as a lion. The lions thought Daniel was a lion. Somebody hear me. Hello. Hey, group unknown. There's group unknown. This is this group right here. Multitudes we've never heard of. That stood for God, never got delivered. Hey, they tell me, and I believe this. They don't tell me, I believe this. I preach a little bit. Well, y'all would know the technical terms. I don't know all the technical terms. Back in these mountains, in these hollers, amen, there's preachers out there standing for God that nobody's ever heard of. But God knows about them, and they stood faithful with their little handful. Hey, God has got a reward. The last are going to be first, and the first are going to be last. Hallelujah for that. Anybody can preach to a house full. But what do you do up when you show up and two or three show up? You just get them out that pulpit like it's packed and full and rabbi and preach. Amen. Hallelujah. That's probably why you got what you got here. Because the man of God stood when it wasn't like this and prayed and God blessed it. Amen. Dear Lord, have mercy. Let the rev preach. Amen. Amen. How about read Fox Book of Martyrs? Multitudes we've never heard of give their life for God. Amen. How about read the Bible? The Bible said there was others that did not get delivered. They're in Hebrews chapter 11. Are you listening? Amen. I'm reading a devotional book last year. I'm not reading as much now as I was. I'm reading a book, devotional book on Baptist history. And every devotional, every day is a devotional on one of our Baptist forefathers and how he stood for God. And many of them died. Amen. Now you read that book, I'm telling you. I had to quit reading it. I was scared I was going to lose my church. You read about our forefathers gave their life for the church and get somebody call you on Sunday morning and say, preacher, I don't think I can come today. My elbows hurt. Oh, my Lord, you will wreck a church. Are you listening? I'm just simply saying, hey, I'll tell you something didn't get delivered. Who didn't get delivered? I'll tell you about a Jonathan Nixon. About 58 years old, his wife got cancer. She died. I'll tell you about John Kinsey. They're in their 40s. His wife got sugar diabetes. Amen. Hey, had to go to dialysis. They started cutting her fingers off, cutting her toes off, cutting her legs off. And hey, what? He stayed with God and preached the gospel. She didn't get delivered. She died. I'll tell you about Rick Humphries, a godly preacher out of our church, took a church and was pastoring a church, and he got sick, and he got sick, and he got sick, and he got sick, and we prayed and prayed. Oh, God, hey, help Brother Rick to get better. He's a gospel preacher, and he died and left his wife and his family. They didn't get delivered. How about Mark Stewart, missionary? Amen. With Macedonian missions. Wife got cancer. Got worse. Died. They didn't get delivered. Here's what I'm telling you. They didn't get delivered. Alan Priester. How about him? Faithful member of a church. Amen. Got sick. Died. Didn't get delivered. How about Pastor Humble? Walked in the church last year on a Tuesday night. Deacons meeting. And he walked in the church. And the deacon said, Pastor, it's over for you. Give us the keys. He's 65 years old. He's given his life to the church. And at 65 years old, they put him out of the church. He didn't get delivered. I'm telling you, folks, I'm telling you, this Bible teaches this. And serves God and loves God and stands for God, believes what we believe, preach what we preach, did not get delivered. Are you listening to me, church? I'm just simply saying some get delivered and some don't get delivered. How about Mrs. Robbins? How about Ms. Mike Robbins? Rhonda Robbins? How about her husband took a pistol on a Sunday morning and she thought he went to the church and he went down the road and killed himself. One of my best friends. Now she's left with no husband and no church. He didn't get delivered. Here's a concept we got. And I don't know why I'm preaching like this tonight. But I'm telling you, our concept is faith will deliver you. Faith may not deliver you. Ultimately, faith is going to deliver you. But here in the nasty now, you said, preach, if I believe that, that's a defeated attitude. No, that's a Bible attitude. Amen. In Hebrews 11, could I keep telling us this? In the same chapter of those that got delivered, the Bible said there was a crowd that didn't get delivered. Amen. I read where a woman was in a hospital reading a book. Somebody sent her. She had terminal cancer. Her pastor went to visit her. The pastor came in the room. She had the book laying on her lap, sobbing in tears. And the pastor said, sister, what's wrong? She said, pastor, you know I've got terminal cancer. And somebody sent me this book and said, if I had enough faith, I'd be healed. And what the book was saying, you're going to die because you don't have enough faith. I'm going to tell you, that's heresy. You put somebody in that condition and tell them if you don't get delivered, it's because your faith ain't right. You know what I thought about today? I'm telling you, I had this thought today. Lazarus got out the grave of a dead man, and it wasn't his faith. Hello, Tokyo. And I ain't a Calvinist. But I am telling you this, your faith sometimes don't deliver you. I know marriages of people who love God and serve God, and their marriage busted up. Hey, it wasn't because they wasn't faithful. They didn't get delivered. Are you listening, church? How about Miss Susan McGill? I'm going to call names. It don't matter. How about we just talked to her on the phone yesterday? How about serving God, living for God, rescuing young people? I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. She knows I do this. We talked to her on the phone yesterday, and her husband walked off and left her. She didn't get delivered. I'm just telling you, this kind of preaching, not because I'm preaching it, this kind of Bible says this. Sometimes we aren't getting delivered, we'll get defeated. But the Bible said it might not be because of your faith. Amen. I think I can reverently say this. I hope the pastor wouldn't get mad. He'll tell me tomorrow and I'll quit. Miss Tammy Raines loves God, serves God, but her husband put her on the doorstep and left her. I think she loves God as much as anybody I know. Why didn't she get delivered? Her daddy loves God, served God, gave his life to the cause of Christ. Miss Raines, a godly woman. How come she didn't get delivered? Amen. If I didn't believe this, I'd believe something's wrong with me. Maybe it's my fault. I didn't. No, no, it ain't her fault. Hey, she didn't get delivered. I'm trying to tell you, it wasn't her fault. Amen. Amen. I could go on and on, on and on. I'm just simply trying to say, my last point, let me hit this. Remember this, things can change. What are you saying, preacher? Well, Job was up. Job was a prosperous man in his country. But things changed. He went down. He lost everything he had. Could I say sometimes your faith, amen, you're right. Hey, group A, y'all got it made tonight. Hello, Tokyo. Somebody listen now. Hey, y'all got it made tonight. Everything y'all touch is coming up roses. But I don't tell you, it could change by in the morning. One phone call, and it could turn it all around. Amen. By the way, y'all over here, down in the mouth, sad, ain't getting no deliverance, about to get bitter, yours could change too. Lazarus was dead 1 minute, 3 days later, 4 days later, he's up from the grave. He arose and could get turned around. My God turned around last week. My deliverance for 3 years got turned around. Amen. I didn't deserve it, but God did. I had nothing to do with it. That's why my wife testified last night. My wife is quiet. She testifies at home and out here, but she don't go out to churches and get up and say much. At the dinner table today, she's doing a lot of talking, and I'm not being disrespectful. I said, I looked over at her in front of the pastor. I said, what's wrong with you? We were talking to the pastor, and she chimed in a few. I said, what's wrong with you? You don't never talk this much. You know why? We're in kindred faith. Hey, man, we got delivered. I didn't deserve to get delivered, Pastor. Pastor, if anybody ought to deserve not to get delivered, I got a dear preacher friend of mine. He is in the exact same spot that I am right now, and he's waiting to see what can happen. What you going to do if you don't get delivered? You know what I read? I was preaching over there for Brother Pallotta on the other side of Harriman. I tell you, this happened to me. I was preaching Brother Pallotta, and Brother Pallotta said, he said, Brother Alfred, you want to ride over tomorrow and see Crown University or Crown College? I said, I ain't never seen that. He said, well, you know where? It's where another section pastors. His church ain't quite big as y'all's. I said, well, I'd like to see it, amen. So we went over there, toured the campus, but here's where I really got, I mean, God really helped me. I walked in the foyer, and I saw a plaque on the wall. And I walked over there and read that plaque. And it was a plaque about Jonathan Edwards preached Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. Now, I've heard about that. I preached on that. I've talked about it. But what I didn't know, on that plaque said, a few years later, got voted out of his church. Right after he preached that message that we're still talking about, hundreds of years later, they voted him out of his church. Are you listening to me? I'm simply trying to say to you tonight, I'm saying, hey, you can be up tonight and down tomorrow. You can be down tonight and up tomorrow, amen. God can turn it around, amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? Sometimes you just got to be like a bulldog. And I'm not talking about determination in the sense of human ability. I'm talking about letting God, the Holy Ghost, bathe you in the power of the Holy Ghost and grab hold like a bulldog and press on. I remember when I was growing up, there was a boy named Jerry Reese, had a bulldog. This is the honest and goodness truth, Brother Donnie. He had a bulldog, and one day we was out there in the behind the barn in the pasture, and that bulldog had got over in the pasture with the cows, and had grabbed one of them cows by the throat. And that cow was running all over that pasture, and that he was beating that bulldog, boom, boom, and that bulldog, he just hanging on. Somebody told me this. I don't know whether it's true. I read it. I don't know if it's true. I read the reason a bulldog's nose is pushed up in his head. They say when he bites you, he can hold on and still breathe. That's what I read. I don't know if that's true, but it's good preaching. And that dog had that cow by the throat. And that cow, boom, boom. That bull, they literally had to get 2x4s and beat that bulldog to make him turn loose. I preached that. I was preaching that in a mountain church. And the preacher come the next night. I preached that the next night. This is the truth, Brother Don. He come the next night. He said, preacher, you know that story you told last night about that bulldog and the cat in the pasture? I said, yeah. He said, I walked out on my porch to get in my car to come to church. And I looked over in the pasture, and there was a dog in the pasture, had a cow by the throat, and the cow was running all over the pasture, and that cow was beating that dog, and that dog was holding on. I said, you know why? You know, he said, why? He said, because he's still breathing. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, when that bulldog nose is turned up, he can still breathe and hold on. And I'm telling you, sometimes that's what we got to do. We just got to grab a hold and hold on. Hello. Just share, let the power of God grip our lives and stay faithful to God. And God, hey, may come to our rescue if we be faithful. It can turn around. Amen. What are you trying to say, preacher? I'm simply trying to say this tonight. Amen. Hey, I read this the other day. The Bible said in the book of James, life is so short, it's like a vapor. And I'm telling you my goal till I meet Jesus. Whether I get delivered or whether I don't want to get delivered, I want to stay faithful. Hello. There's going to be things come your way, and there's going to be things come our way to tell us to quit and let up and stop. But I want to grab hold like a bulldog because I'm still breathing and hold on till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Why? Because life is short. The Bible said it's like a vapor. It appeared for a little while and then vanished away. So life is temporal. But I never thought about this, Brother Donnie. Not only is life temporal, it's like vapor. Life can be transformed. Hey, what is life? Vapor was once water. Water got transformed into vapor. Hello. Our lives can be transformed. Hey, water seeks a lower level. Vapor seeks a higher level. Water seeks earthly things. Vapor seeks heavenly things. Hey, water makes mud puddles. Vapor makes clouds. Amen. Hey, you know what made that pretty cloud in the sky? Was once a dirty mud puddle. But you know what made the difference between a dirty mud puddle and a cloud in the sky? The sun. Glory to God. I'm trying to tell you, it's the sun that took our dirty lives and transformed us and made us something beautiful. Hallelujah. Well, until then, what are we going to do? We're going to press on. Delivered or non-delivered. Hey, these didn't get delivered, but they didn't quit. They didn't receive the promise. Hello? We got it. We got the promise. We got the promise. They pressed on and didn't have the promise. We got the promise. Yeah. Amen. If they could endure, we ought to could endure. Yeah. What are you trying to say tonight, preacher? I'm trying to tell you, I don't know where you are tonight. Maybe you're here tonight and you prayed and prayed and prayed about a situation, about health, about whatever, and you haven't seen delivered. Maybe you got a lost family, never been delivered, and you prayed and your heart breaks. I'm trying to tell you, don't give up. Keep pressing on. That's what's happening to this church. That's what's happening to so many people. They're falling away. They're falling away. Why? Maybe it's no deliverance and they're falling away. Hey, don't fall away. Press on. Delivered or non-delivered. I'm going with God.
Thank you for joining us for today's Pulpit Hour, brought to you by The Preaching Channel. To listen to this message once again in its entirety, for a free download of this message or a variety of any other messages, or to listen to preaching 24 hours a day, you can visit The Preaching Channel at WGCRpreaching.net. If you don't have download capabilities, feel free to call and order a CD copy of today's message at 828-884-9427.